Happiness is circumstantial. Happiness is like riches. Happiness is just kind of, you can buy a Tom's Donut, you can buy a candy bar, you can go buy a car, and you're happy for a while till that new smell wears off, right? And then you just bought a circumstantial happiness, or you bought circumstances with your riches, right? Well, joy just happens when God rolls up and he says, hey man, I just gave you a new grandchild.
Super excited, Todd. Good morning to you. Thank you for being on the Who You Know show.
Thank you, Trevor, man. This is fun, man. This is great. Clubhouse, you got all the links. You got everything going on. You're definitely a master at your craft.
Thank you. I will accept that compliment. I appreciate that. I actually got told that yesterday. I did an interview, and the gentleman said the same thing. So 2 days in a row, I'll take it. Let's go. Todd, you are on a mission. America's coach. Okay. America's coach. And you want to help individuals and businesses grow personally, spiritually, and profitably. So can you share your journey? Okay. How that got started? Where did that seed come from? And what inspired you to take on this ambitious mission?
So, listen, that's a big question. So, there's several in there, and I want to make sure I'm getting all of them to you. So, and we only got an hour, and I just want to. So, I'm going to start off with America's. I want to dive into the niche of this America's Coach component, because I want you to understand that we have literally coined and we have researched, and we are America's first functional business coach, right? And so I want to be that coach. I want to be America's functional business coach. And I mean that from a regard that I've been through a lot. You asked me earlier how old I was, and I'm like, 58, man. Come on, I'll own that right now. Let's go. Right, so 58.
And you
so
look good for 58, man. I got to tell you, dude, if I told you this, when I'm 58, okay, I'm 36. When I'm 58, if I look like you, dude, I'm doing good, okay? So keep up. Whatever you're doing, man, keep it up.
Yeah, well, we eat right. We do. We practice what we preach a little bit, and sometimes we don't, and then that puts some years on you. But at the end of the day, I want to make sure the listeners understand that when I talk to you about being America's first functional business coach, I want you to understand what that means to be a functional coach. Have any of y'all out there heard of what a functional doctor is? Have you, Trevor? A lot of people don't know what a functional doctor is.
A functional doctor. No, I can't say that I can. I mean, I could think of maybe what that means. I mean, but yeah. you tell me, what's a functional doctor?
I'm going to tell you, and it's not a quiz, and doesn't mean you don't know things. Most people don't know what a functional doctor is. And so literally, I'm out there preaching and teaching and doing a lot of things in the business. And the three things I want people to understand is, one, that I'm going to build you personally. And then two, I'm going to build you spiritually. God and I are going to help build you spiritually. And then at the end of all this, we're going to build you profitably. I don't think we can get to the profit until we can get to the spirit and we can get to the personal growth. And I think that you can't. I've done a lot of this business stuff. I've got 14 organizations all over the country. I've got four great brands, Wired Differently, Tom's Donuts. I've got PayServe Systems. And I got You Matter Staffing. And so I've literally been done through a lot of this, but I want people to understand that those things don't work, right? You're not profitable for the long haul unless you really understand that you need personal growth, spiritual growth, and then profitable growth. That will all come. And so I guess one of the setup stories I would share with you most recently that really took on this idea or understanding of how to really market this, a couple of years ago, my youngest daughter, she's 25 now, and she was diagnosed with diabetes, and it was just an awful thing. You know, it was type 1 diabetes. It wasn't type 2. And she was 23, 22, something like that. D1 softball player playing all over. She's on ESPN. Like, she's like her older sisters called her the golden child, if that tells you anything. Right.
And type so, 1, you'll have to excuse me. So type 1 is worse, or like
type 1 is.
I don't know, is
death in many regards.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, no, you're going to live through it, but you know, if you don't do things correct, your sugar is all askew, you lose toes, you lose, you know, you can't have children. No, it's serious stuff. There's a type two where you can, it's not so much about your pancreas and insulin production and stuff, how it converts it. And you could take pills to move through type two, but still it's not a healthy thing. But type one is you're literally taking, you've seen it. People take insulin shots, right? And so, you know, they manage because your pancreas isn't producing enough insulin. And
I grew up, I had this guy that was living at my house, and he had, you know, diabetes, and he had to take the shots. And if he didn't, he'd go into seizures. And I mean, it'd get bad. He'd be like foaming from the mouth. I mean, it was not good.
That's exactly what she was diagnosed to as roughly 22-year-old.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm doing this coaching and I'm breaking into all this, and we're doing a lot of good things and this and that, but this really rocked our world. Everybody in our house, you know, perfect, literally perfect child, cum laude in high school. Then she graduated, then she got her master's and she's top of her class and that, just everything. But she comes home perfectly fit, perfectly mind, perfect. Type 1 diabetes. Everything stops, man. So we're trying to figure this out. And so one of the things was my wife says, listen, we're not gonna quit on this. My wife's basically calling bullshit, right? She's saying, like, I don't buy it. This child's perfect, but it's true. It happens. So she's not giving up. I'm not giving up. But she's like, we're gonna reverse this. I'm like, yeah, we're gonna reverse this. How do you reverse it? No one reverses type 1 diabetes. Well, long story short, it can be done. If you're willing to work at it and you're falling in certain pins got to drop and lock just right. But at the end of the day, we went for it. And we went on this, what was called just a meat-o diet, right? Meat, salt, water, meat, salt, water. We reset her entire system. And we did it with her. I dropped 50 pounds, 48 pounds. It's crazy. It just fell off like that. But all of this was to inspire and to move through this predicament my daughter was, because we were praying about it and we wanted to reverse this. So we had to get all the nastiness out of her body, all the food and all the reset her gluten in her gut and everything. And my wife is like, no way, we're not going to get on big pharma. You know, once they start putting you on insulin, and I'm not going to drag this out because it's a beautiful story. Once they put you on insulin, they're killing your pancreas. And once your pancreas is dead, just not producing any insulin. And that's when you get older fast, because you're caught shooting up the insulin to eat food, any kind of carbohydrate, anything. And this is no way to live your life. She's getting married, right? So anyways, we go through this whole piece. And one of the things that happens, my cousin is a mad scientist with Euclid vitamins and products. He's a brilliant man out of Michigan State University. And he talked to us about gut and gluten, eating worms and doing all kinds of stuff to reset the pancreas. Oh man, there was some crazy stuff out there, man. And you don't need all the there's things that you can do, and I'm not going to preach all that right now. But one of the things that we did do was we weren't going to take the. I said we got to get her off the insulin, so we dummied down her system, took all the sugar out of it, just meat, salt, water, meat, salt, water, meat, salt, water.
Where did you learn that? Where did that come from, by the way? Meat, salt, water.
Meat, salt, water. You know. It's out there.
Okay.
But when you talk to the functional doctor, when you talk to these nutritionist people, they want you to cleanse your system, Trevor. And so you got to cleanse it by getting out all the things that they spray and the vegetables and the sugar and everything. So we cleansed it for over 30 days. She literally got off the shot in 2 weeks while we were cleansing. Saved my life, saved my wife's life. We lost weight. We started to learn to eat better. Long story short, we hired a functional doctor. And he went in, and here's where I'm trying to get to with this. He went in and said, listen, I'm not going to just look at her pancreas, because that's where the insulin's coming from. I want to look at the whole body. I want to look at her brain. I want to look at her kneecap. I want to look at her toes. I want to look at her gut. I want to look at the gluten. I want to look at everything. And we found out that the spike protein latched onto her pancreas because her gluten intolerance was the weakest part in her body. And we nailed that son down right down right to where that spike protein was paralyzing her pancreas and gave her the type 1 diabetes she's going to have the rest of her life. But at the end of the day, I want to tell you this functional doctor figured this whole thing out, because he wasn't isolated to just one piece of the body. He looked at the whole body. And so when I come to you and I say, I want to coach you up. I want to make you wealthy. I want to make you successful. I want to make you profitable. I want to make you fruitful, right? I want to figure out exactly what you want, because some people aren't all about the millions. They're not all Grant Cardones out there. I'm not one of him. I don't measure my life by how much money I'm in and the fact that I want to be a billionaire. I'm not ragging on him. I'm just saying that, man, that's not how it really is, because here's how it really is. It's how you want to be fruitful in life. And that may be measured in relationships, that may be measured in properties, it may be measured in love, it may be measured in who you're caring for, it may be measured in all kind of ways. So my job is to figure out, as a functional coach, how am I going to make you fruitful? How am I going to make you profitable? But whoa, let's go back and look at the whole body. Let me look at your mind. Let me start there. Let me look at your elbow. Let me look at your knee. Let me figure out, because if I can work on you personally, and then I can work with you, with God, spiritually, then when the profitability comes, it will last.
Ooh, hold up. Hold up. Let me get you a mic drop for that one. Wait, let's go. Mic drop. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Because, yeah, you had go through seasons, right? And, you know, peaks and valleys. And so in those down moments, you know what I mean? Like, if the rest of you is weak and not really put together very well, it's a house of cards. You may have some success, okay? And then all of a sudden it just crumbles and falls apart. I mean, you see it all the time. You see it with athletes. You see it with stars. You see it with, you know, people that make a whole bunch of success. But it's a house of cards, because they're not complete. They're not, like you said, the whole body isn't put together. Okay.
They're not connecting the dots, and they go from, it's a race, especially when you think about social media and the stuff that we're trying to do on social media. And like, we're so hung up on likes and follows and all that crazy. We know we need it, but we're not, you know, sometimes we forget to get up and do our devotional. Sometimes we forget to do the reps, the pushups, the sit-ups, because we're chasing something that's going to come after the stuff that we're building the building blocks for. And so that's what I would tell you, just on the season or the conversation in regards to what a functional coach is. So I want people to have a clear path on what Todd Saylor Wired Differently is, as a brand, as a speaker, as an author, and those things. And that's my job, is to build you personally, spiritually, and profitably.
Yeah, you're not just a business coach who's going to sit down with somebody and say, hey, this is X, Y, and Z, what you need to get to the next level, which you do that too, I'm sure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you're not just that.
Yeah. I haven't yet to have someone come to me, certainly on my larger package, and say, man, I'm making so much money. I just want to hire you to make 20 times more. Most of them are coming to me broken. Their marriages are broken. They're depressed. Their bank is broken. Their ideas were sound, but somewhere something happened. And unfortunately, people just, they wait until they're broke, right? Before they can get, I'm going to give you a rhyme that works, before they wake up, before they become woke, right? So I don't want that to happen to somebody, but that's how it generally happens. And so that's why I want to make sure that people understand that if you're going to use someone to help you in your business process, I would seek somebody that's really going to help you from a holistic perspective, at least give you some rounding. Because listen, there's a big difference between riches and wealth. The Bible talks about that, and I talk a lot about it. And I think a lot of people can get rich. I can help you get rich in one phone call. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. You will get rich in one phone call with me. But the problem is, you miss the personal growth, you miss the spiritual growth, and you won't keep it, because wealth is what I need to coach you on.
It's a mindset.
Right. Well, riches versus wealth is a big, big, big deal, Trevor, because riches are what you're paying the bills with. Riches are what you're buying your bling with. Riches are what you're buying your food with, utilities and all that. But wealth is something that's happening without us being around it. It's just compounding on its own, right? And when you compare that to happiness and joy is the same thing as the Bible talks about, is happiness is circumstantial. Happiness is like riches. Happiness is just kind of, you can buy a Tom's donut, you can buy a candy bar, you can go buy a car, and you're happy for a while till that new smell wears off, right? And then you just bought a circumstantial happiness, or you bought circumstances with your riches, right? Well, joy just happens when God rolls up and he says, hey man, I just gave you a new grandchild.
Boom. Hey, Todd, what's the thing?
Joy.
Yeah,
that's
joy. Joy.
And
I want to,
like, wealth. It just happens. Go ahead, bro.
I want to ask you, what's that thing for you? Is it, like you said, a new grandchild or something like that? What's that thing that just lights you up and gives you absolute joy?
Joy.
What is it for you?
Well, I'll be honest with you. First one to be a grandchild. I mean, because I just sold out my son. I mean, you just know, man, I got four grandkids. I got three boys and like one little, I have four daughters. One I adopted from, and I have three of my own, and they're all my own. But so I have a lot of joy in that. But regardless, I mean, right now in my space now, when those grandbabies come over last night, we were at the Detroit Lions playoff game, and we just did a smackdown on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we're going to San Francisco on Friday to beat the 49ers. So anyways, I digress. I came home, and all the grandbabies were running out there hugging me, and I'm like, oh, now that's a joy. Now, I will also tell you, joy is seeing my portfolio grow. I find a lot of joy in finding out how the wealth is growing. I do. I'll add that up every now and then.
I love that. I love that. So for me, I was thinking about it over the Christmas holiday. I saw my niece, which I haven't seen in like 4 years. Oh. I just like looked at her like, because I don't have any kids, right? But I'm looking at
brother or sister's daughter.
My brother. My brother's daughter, and I hadn't seen her.
Older or younger than you?
He's older.
Okay, I got it. I got it now. I'm seeing it.
Yeah, and she's just this adorable thing, you know. And anyways, I hadn't seen her in like 4 years, and it just gave me absolute joy just to see her, and it was awesome. So that was cool. And the other thing that really gives me joy is actually lighting other people up. It's one of the reasons why I got started helping the career search community, is because I saw them broken and I saw myself in them, because I have been broken and I've been in places where I was, you know, on the ground and on rock bottom. And so I love lifting those people up and inspiring those people. It gives me joy to help them up. And so anyway,
let me teach on that real quick.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I just want to make sure the listeners understand.
No, I love it.
Because I'm cutting through it with you, you know. And so when we bring in joy, I just want you to understand joy and wealth parallel, right? So from a financial perspective, wealth just happens without you working at it or laboring at it. It's just your portfolio, your house, your stock, something you're investing in that's growing on its own, that you're not having to water every stinking day, right? And that's the thing that God delivers to us in joy. Joy is something that you can't labor at. Like, you had nothing to do with your niece, and you roll up on her, and God gave you joy. You didn't work for that. You didn't. And I think it's probably the best teaching point we're going to probably have all day. Maybe, I don't know. But the point of the matter is, I want wealth to be like that for you. But I want everyone to understand what God has done for us, right? Like, he has put things into us. Joy. Like, you, Trevor, walk up. You see a beautiful young lady you haven't seen in 3 or 4 years, and she's so glad to see you. And that joy just overwhelms your body. You forget about any talk show. You forget about anything. I want the listeners to understand, Trevor is a beautiful man, and that is a beautiful story. And it's exactly what God wants us to understand about joy. He provides that joy.
I love it. I love it. And I agree with what you're saying. You have a very cool, I love the title of this book, by the way. I'm gonna showcase your book. Okay. Your Will Be Done. I love the title of this book. Okay. You guys need to go pick up this book. Your Will Be Done. And I see, okay, the imagery here. I see this hand coming in. It's got a bunch of, it's got a tattoo on it. Okay. So you're going to have to describe, it's got a tattoo. For those listening online, it's got a tattoo on the hand. It's like grabbing, it almost looks like a crystal ball, okay, and smashing it, like literally crushing this crystal ball. But it looks, the crystal ball is almost a brain, isn't it? That's a brain.
That's what it is.
Okay, it's so it's a crystal brain, and it's like crushing it, and it's got these beads on the hand. So I'm describing it for the audio listeners right now. Tell me about the first of all, the title. And then tell me with the imagery here, what this represents and what the readers can expect from this book.
Yeah, that's great. So it's my third book in a series of Wired Differently books. My first book was titled Wired Differently. Phenomenal, beautiful book. It's my favorite book. But then I wrote another book, Wired Differently, Drift Again, one word, D-R-I-F-T-A-G-A-I-N, Drift Again. Beautiful book. It's my favorite book. This is my third book, and it's my favorite book. So
here, they're like children, right? They're all your favorite. I mean, you can.
Yeah. And hopefully, we get to my fourth book I'm writing now, The Tiger in Us, and I'm making a movie about that book, and it's just, it's phenomenal, and you're going to love hearing about that. But this book here, Your Will Be Done, it broke me, man. I wept because this book, it wasn't meant to be sexy in any regards, a great cover and all this. It's meant to be provocative, and it certainly worked. The pastors that I went to, that I was telling them about the concept, were a bit uncomfortable with the title, and they wanted to tell me how much they knew about everything, which is their job, right? And how maybe I'm not certified speaker or a Christian preacher. I'm not qualified, right? I've only lived 58 years and been through more hell and back than most people alive, right? I'm studying probably much as more than many. But here's the thing: they were a little put back because they didn't like the Your Will Be Done. You're putting God's name on. I'm like, well, yeah, but it's a double title, right? Because I go to the Grant Cardones and the Tony Robbins, and then I say, listen, Your Will Be Done, because we're all teaching, right? The subconscious, right? This idea of dropping, and some people will call it manifestation, but I'm calling it actualization into your subconscious to make things happen in our world on our own, which we call free will. And so when I start to bring up free will and I bring up God's will, I got the God's will people worried about the free will, and I got the free will people worried about God's will. And I've created the perfect book to piss off both sides.
Let's go. Mic drop. Hey, listen, if you're not pissing somebody off, you're not doing something right. Like, you're not doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta, you can't make everybody happy. So if everybody is good, that means you're not doing anything, right? Oh, yeah. But if you're pissing people off, it means you're moving and shaking, and you're making a book, and you're doing things, and you're doing big things. So all I got to say is that. So go ahead. But actually, real quick, the tattoo, okay, that's on that hand, is that your hand? Okay, tell me about the tattoo, because you put that hand in there. You put your hand in there specifically for a reason. That tattoo stands out. What does the tattoo represent?
Yeah, so the story on the whole cover is my hand. So the first cover, my first book, was my face, and the second cover was me walking out of the ocean and no face at all, just my body silhouette coming out of it's great, beautiful, great book. But this book is meant to not be about my face, not to be about my back, not even to be about me. It's about to be about you and your will be done. And so what I did was I put your mind in basically a image of God's hand, right? So God has literally dropped us on this planet, created in his image, right? But what people aren't understanding is that he gave us free will, right? He never tethered the supernova brain that he gave us to our ability or our acceptability of him in our life. And that's where this is a bit of a polarizing book, because when I say your will be done, I'm speaking of Matthew 6:9. No question. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. So that's Matthew 6:9 is what that's built on. But the controversial piece is that God said, I love you so much that I'm giving you this amazing subconscious, this amazing consciousness. And I wanted you to understand that if you want it, you can go get it. You can visualize it. You can program yourself, right?
Because we're built in his image and he's a creator, so we're creators. So we got to get out there and go, if we can visualize it, right, you can create it.
Correct.
And I have, and what you're talking about is, you know, people talk about manifestation and stuff. Like, I talk with my dad about this kind of stuff. He's kind of, he doesn't necessarily believe in some of that. I'm like, listen, I know it's true because I have witnessed it in my own life where I have visualized something and I have made it come true. Now, it's not like this magic wand that you're just like, I'm manifesting, you know, and like, it comes to fruition. But that's not how it works. But what happens is when you focus in on something, right, your focus becomes your reality. When you are laser focused on something, all of a sudden, subconsciously, your mind starts looking for opportunities to bring you closer to that thing, right? It's like when you say, I'm going to go buy a red Ford F-150. And then all of a sudden, that's all you see is red Ford F-150s, okay? It's because your subconscious is now focused on that. It's the same thing with opportunities. So all of a sudden, if you're like, hey, this is my goal, I'm writing it down, I'm putting a vision board, I want to put it in front of me. I think Jim Carrey actually wrote $1 million check to himself, right? And dated it, right? And like, he's a huge proponent of visualization. And it all came to pass because he's all of a sudden he's seeing the opportunities. His receptors are open, right? Like, anyway, can you talk about that?
Yeah, I really will, because I think that's the doubleness of your will be done. And that's where the polarization of the title and these two sequiturs of people are not sure of one side or the other. One loves one side, but doesn't want to bring God into it. And the other one loves the God side, but doesn't want to bring free will into it. So long story short is I really, really am in your same camp with you in that regards. And we know without hesitation that almost 100% of everything that you put in your subconscious or gets into your subconscious becomes you, right? Now, I do spend a lot of time on this book because God did give us this subconscious. And my point I want to make to the listeners is, and for you that don't follow God, I want you to understand, you too have a subconscious. You too have a conscious. God didn't say, if you accept me in your heart, then you will have this supernova brain. He didn't do that. He said, I gave you this brain. I gave you all these things. I would love for you to come along, but your will be done. Your free will is out there. And he never subjugated his beauty, his glory, his beautiful image that we were created, because we were conceived and created, number one, wired differently from birth. Stage one of being wired differently is of birth genetically. 1,000 trillion neurons by the time you're three. That is called a quadrillion. That's 15 zeros. I'm telling you, man, come on now, somebody. You're wired differently. Two, second stage of being wired differently is you learn how to use the subconscious. I do a whole message on programming your identity. Programming your identity. If you know what you want, you can program yourself to become it. Sometimes we have to be willing to change who we are to become who we want to be. And that's how we do it. We do it through the subconscious training, through our habits, and the free throws that we're shooting, right? The reps that we're doing. Because if we understand the beauty and the subconscious power of 100%, it's going to come happen. Now, last but not least, on section two, the creation phase, number three is the salvation phase, where we literally invite Christ into our heart, mind, and soul so he can help us guide our free will, so he can help us understand these neurons that we were given from birth, right? So that's creation, actualization, and salvation.
It's so giving it up, right? It's like giving it up. So you got this amazing gift, this free will. And then you're surrendering it. Correct. You're saying, hey, like, listen, you gave me this amazing thing, but listen, I've asked God that many a times. I'm like, listen, I am not good with this thing called free will. I mess it up all the time. Lord, just take it from me. Take it from me. Just drive this thing. I don't want it. Because if I have it, I'm just gonna run it in the wall. Anyway,
you're exciting, man. You're exciting. So I really love your energy. So here's the thing, and I'm gonna drop a bomb right now here, and I want you to understand though that because I'm just cut to the chase of this book. You're gonna love this book, and there's chapter four in there, and we talk about free will, subconscious, and getting 1% better every day, and how to do that. 14 minutes and 25 seconds a day will give you 1% better of the day, and you will become whatever you do in 14 minutes and 24 seconds a day. But here's the thing: a lot of us aren't aware of this subconscious power. All right? A lot of us aren't. And what happens is that we aren't controlling what goes into our subconscious. We let the world get in our subconscious. And so I use chapter 4, I believe, and I talk about that. And unfortunately, I'm just going to drop this on you because it's the only thing you men are going to understand out there. Is this pornography? It's the perfect example of what will happen and what you will become if you do something more than 14 minutes and 24 seconds a day. It changes your brain. It drops into your subconscious. And what comes out of your subconscious, you did not elect to be a person who watches that stuff and what it makes you, but you're just doing it because the world has put it in front of you. And when it drops in there, it comes out of you. And all of a sudden, over time, 1% a day, you become 33 times better at it. You become 37,000 times better at it. And by the end of 3 years, you become like 190,000 times better at whatever you're doing 14 minutes a day. And if that's pornography, the reason I'm using that is because we all know what I'm talking about. Your marriage will be ruined. Your sexual relationships will be ruined. The way you objectify women will be ruined. The way you walk down the street will be ruined. What you do at night will be ruined. Your brain will be infested. And that's exactly why it's important that we understand that God gave us this supernova subconscious, the heat-seeking, dog-hunting mindset. A subconscious was given to us to go get exactly what was put in it. There's no question about it. If it's in your subconscious, your body's going to get it, and there's nothing that's going to stop it from happening. And so why wouldn't we understand that when it comes to the things that are going to ruin our life? Why do we let that happen? I want to know, Trevor. That's what I want to know.
Man, let's go. Hold on. So another mic drop. Okay. I love the passion. I love it. Preach, man. Preach. And it's like what's stronger? What's stronger, the rock or the river, the water, right? Ooh. Like
Bruce Lee will tell you the water, man.
You know, that water is gonna go because of the consistent, persistent, you know, flow is gonna cut through that rock. Mm-hmm. It's gonna cut through that rock. And so over time, right? It's not a, like you said, with some of the, it's like smoking. Right? It ain't gonna kill you today.
Bad movies. Why are you electing it? Because that is what's living in your subconscious and your identity.
Bad movies. You said that. Like, you know what? I was talking about that last night. Like sometimes, you know, what you see on TV and the movies and the gore and like horror movies. Let me just tell you something. And I don't know what this is. I may be going a little bit crazy here. Okay. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm single now. Okay. And let me just tell you something. And I'm dating and stuff like that. And one of the things I've noticed, a commonality, because I ask a lot of questions. Okay. A commonality, and this doesn't mean it's for everybody, but a commonality, a lot of women like horror movies, scary horror movies. And I hate them. And it's not because I'm scared of them. It's just, I don't want to feed my mind, you know, like, especially the demonic ones. The ones where, like, you know, it's a creepy demonic spirit, you know, exorcism type stuff. I don't want to put that in my mind. I just don't. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it around. Like, I just don't. So anyway, but I've noticed this commonality as I've been dating it. You know, you're asking, what kind of movies you like? What kind of this? What kind of that? Da, 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 da. Like, women like horror movies. I don't know what's up with that. But anyways, yeah, you need to be careful what you feed your mind.
Yeah, and to tie it into this whole identity programming thing, I want to give you a quote, Atomic Habit, James Clear, something that I remember and I wanted to kind of come falling in here right now is that when we talk about the subconscious, we talk about all those things, I want you to understand that your identity is the North Star of your habits. Mm-hmm. And so
Say that again. Your identity,
Trevor, mm-hmm. What you are, who you are, what you're going to be, your identity mm-hmm. is the North Star of your habits, right? And so most people aren't building their identity. They become an identity. And so here is the trigger point for you listeners out there is that I want you to go backwards in your thought process. I want you to wake up and say, I want to be a Christian, or I want to be a podcast dude. I want to be, you know, whatever that is. And then you say, okay, now if that's what I want to be, what are the habits that I'm doing to create my identity in that situation? Because because here's the problem is that some of us like, and let's pick this last time I'm going to pick on it, but sometimes we just want to, I've seen porn. I know what it does to your mind. I'm not going to lie. I've beat all that stuff, but it never leaves. Right. And so you need to understand if you decide to do some of these things, you're not realizing what it's doing to your subconscious, which is creating habits, which is putting you into an identity. Remember, my dad's a smoker, man. Now he was the greatest football coach that'll ever coach the game. He's 80 years now. He's been smoking 3 packs a day, and now his identity is not coaching, but smoking. Who's that guy over there? Well, that smoker over there. It's not, that guy over there, the greatest football coach to ever walk the planet. Because his identity became what was put into him from the world. Instead of saying, hey, I want to stay the greatest coach of all time. I'm going to put the hat on. I'm going to do a podcast. I mean, whatever it's going to take. But at the end of the day, I just really want to challenge you listeners. And I want to speak to your hearts and your minds right now is that if you know what your identity is and you know what you want to be, if you want to be willing to change who you are to become who you want to be, remember this very simple quote. Your identity will always be the North Star of your habits.
Mm. So what are your habits? So good. Yeah. No, that's so good. Okay, I'm going to give you another one. I'm going to quote that one, okay? You don't mind if I steal it and quote it? You don't own it. I mean, I'll give you credit, obviously, but dang, man, that's so good. It really is because it's true. It's so true. You know, the habits that you do, your daily disciplines, right? Your daily disciplines are what you're going to end up.
And as a young man, I'm not going to father you right now. I don't know if I'm quite old enough to be your dad, but I will tell you this. You're in a really vulnerable spot in life. I mean, you're a good looking man, you're successful, right? And people are looking to you for advice. You're a big ass target, man. And the world is going to drip habits into you that are not going to be performing. It's going to want to, like, it's just going to want to, because that's the lane you're rolling in, man. Listen, we don't have time for all my problems or what I did in my past, but I will tell you this is that I really want you to focus on what that routine is at 5 a.m. I really want you to focus on that identity. I want you to start asking yourself, is that who I am? Man, I'll catch myself cussing every now and then. I'm like, man, I get it. I'm a regular dude, but you know, or the Instagram or the Facebook, you scroll, and they're all naked on there. I mean, listen, it's just slow the scroll, man. Slow the scroll, right?
Slow, another mic drop, slow the scroll. Golly. No, Todd, I appreciate, first and foremost, I want to say thank you for saying that, because you're absolutely right about everything you just said, like the vulnerability, mm-hmm. right? That being in my position, mm-hmm. and where I'm at, and I feel it, you know, I feel it. And so just you calling that out, man, I just want to be transparent. I want to be authentic and I want to be genuine. And so I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you saying that, because it's true. I feel it. I feel it daily.
Yeah. Let's pray for Trevor. Heavenly Father, we just pray for Trevor. We pray for all you out there who are working through something in your life. You're not even sure what your identity is. And now you're asking yourself, what is my identity? What are my habits? How can I do this? Let's pray for Trevor and his show, that he can continue to reach out and that you can protect him and be with him in these decision moments where he can make the right decisions for not only himself, but for the people he's leading, Lord. He is a leader, and we're just grateful for him and his identity. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. I got to say thank you. I've never had anybody pray for me on my show before, and I want to accept it, and I appreciate you, and I really do. Like, it means the world to me, man.
Yeah.
It really does. It really, really, really does. It means the world to me. And the, you're kind of choking me up a little bit here, man. Choking me up. So I appreciate that. Okay. I want to shift gears just a little bit. Okay, and we're going to talk about a couple things that you got going on, okay? The Wired Differently Entrepreneur Business Coaching Academy. Okay, first of all, that's a mouthful, but some powerful words in there. The Wired Differently Entrepreneurial Business Coaching Academy, right? That sounds like an amazing resource. Tell us about what that is and what entrepreneurs can expect to get there.
All right. So in my coaching program, we have basically two levels. We have a level one and a level two. And level one is where, you know, I'm able to consult with people basically once a month. And then level three, and we do short chats in between and some masterminds and things of that nature. But and that's right around $500, $599 or something, let's say, a month. Great program. And then I have a level two, which literally is a commitment with me in your business, my team in your business. And we're in there. We're literally working on your marketing. We're working. I can guarantee, if you get into that program, I guarantee you $100,000 in profit gains in 1 year. I guarantee it, or I'll give you your money back. It's never not happened, right? So that's what goes there. But with both of those teaching courses, there's a product I have called the Wired Differently Academy, right? The virtual MBA. And so you get in those coaching environments, you get a resource center, you get teachings from me every week that drop on schedule, you get PDFs, you get PowerPoints, you get a whole outline, a whole coaching package that keeps you on task. A coach is, my job is just to make you better, right? And I've got to give you the tools to make you better. I can never really coach your discipline. I can tell you about your discipline, but my job is to put the vehicles in front of you to make you better, to make you excellent. You've got to want to be that. And so I'm going to be able to coach you through the process. I'm going to put you in the right places, and I'm guaranteeing you $100,000 in profits in 1 year. I have no qualms. No, I'm going to make you wealthy, not just rich. I'm going to do all those things. But I want to make sure that in the quiet moments when I'm not around, you have the tools that you can go to, the tools to make yourself more successful in your business world. So that's the virtual MBA. That's the Wired Differently Academy.
I love it. Oh my goodness. Y'all need to go pick that up. Okay. And you also have this thing here called the Tiki Hut Entrepreneurial Retreat. Okay. That sounds like a one of a kind experience. Like what goes on at this retreat? Like it's at a tropical paradise setting, or what's going on here?
Yeah. So my home, I have a beautiful home here in Anna Marie Island, and we have about an 8,000 square foot home on an acre, and I have several tiki huts on my property. So that's where we got the tiki hut. And so we bring everybody to my home for dinner and a party. It's a blast. So that was the concept of the tiki hut. We do stay at a resort that has tiki huts on it on the ocean. And so it's a 3-day event where we coach and teach, and there's experiences and excursions. We go to a place called Triumph, and we do team building, and we talk about how entrepreneurs have to face their fears. And literally we have people 150 feet in the air, hanging with these straps and jumping into nets. It's phenomenal. And then we go on a leadership scavenger hunt out on an island, Egmont Key, which is a kind of a deserted island. And we take a big boat out there, and they drop us off, and we're out there for about 2 hours doing leadership scavenger hunts and going into the water, finding shells, finding turtles, and going through a lot of cool things and looking at a lot of artifacts and remnants of the old world. And there's just a lot of team building and leadership building there. And I get to teach out there as well. So it's a great event. It's phenomenal. It's a one of a kind experience for sure.
That sounds so cool. And
do those privately too. Like if you have a corporation, bring in 12 or 15 people, we set it up and we handle it all from there. So
that sounds so cool. So let me ask you this. Okay. Cause there's lots of different, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday about coaching, and there's lots of different ways to coach, a lot of different, you know, you have online courses, you got masterminds, master classes, you got retreats. Okay. So you got all these different ways of doing it, right? Now, and it sounds like you've probably done all those, or probably still do all of those. What do you think has the biggest impact with the people you're coaching? Does a retreat style like this really bring out the results that you're looking for? What style works the best in your opinion?
Well, the only style that works is a regimen of meeting with the coach who gives you homework and you do what you're supposed to do, right? So a tiki hut is a one-time thing. Tiki hut is, you know, meant to come on out, meet me, have a lot of fun, get some contacts, right? It's not, it's what, who you know, right? So they're there. We have, I do most of the teaching, almost all the speaking, because I want them to know me. I want them to understand what is the North Star of their habits? What is their identity? How do you create a habit? What is a habit loop? How are all these things working? I give them the science behind why they should be looking at things the way they're looking at. But really, I really kind of feel sorry for my level one students who only get conversation once a month because they show up for an hour and they're just like frothing. Like, I got all these questions. I'm like, okay, I'm doing all that. We're doing all this, but listen, are you on the virtual MBA? Are you doing the home? Are you doing the reps? So the bigger version is when you have me and my team every week. It's because we're creating the habit of doing it, it's dropping into our subconscious, and then it's coming out of us as our identity. And where the energy goes, the money flows, right? It's just period. That's just like where it's at. And so when they get too far away from the coach.
No, that makes sense. So it's kind of like, you know, you go to a football camp, okay, but that's not where it stops. Okay, you go to the camp, you get the experience, you get all the, you know, training, da 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 da. But then you got, you know,
get into the season.
Get into the season. You got weekly coaching, you know, going on with these athletes. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's the consistent discipline of having that coaching going on, you know, learning, hey, you know what, you needed to be making a pivot here. You need to do this. You need to do that. And it's not going to happen if you just go one time, you do a camp or you do an experience, you know, it's like people go to conferences, right? Like I go to conferences. So people go to conferences and, you know, they get all these aha moments and light bulb moments and they, you know, fill up a whole notepad full of notes and then they go home and they don't do anything. They get all motivated and inspired and encouraged.
Literally, they can't get enough of their so happy and everything. And then
oh yeah,
very few of them come back and I'm still don't processing do my notes, you know.
100%. And so for me, because the notes, like, I think they say there's this thing called the 72-hour rule. And the 72-hour rule is after 72 hours, after taking any training, you know, any information downloading into your brain, right? Any training or course or anything like that. If you don't take action within a 72-hour period, the chances of you actually getting that result are like slim to none.
Yeah. If you don't sign somebody up at the event, I'll be honest with you. If you literally don't have a call to action at the end of a Tiki Hut or a conference, you know, but I'm not trying, that's the business of it. And, you know, that's what gets, I just don't like, I didn't even want to do this, man. I'm like, Tracy, my wife, I've been married 40 years and she's phenomenal. Yeah. And I'm like, I feel called to do this God's way. Right. Because there's a lot of these guys online and I mean, I'm not going to name them, but you know, I just think it's got to be more than the money, you know, and I just got to figure that out. And I think I'm doing a really good job at it. That's why we're wired differently, right? We're not of this world anymore. We've accepted Christ. We're all three stages of being wired differently. You, me, all of us that believe that we're wired differently are now misfits of this world. And that's how we have to look at it.
I've always been a misfit anyway. I have been. I've always been kind of like different. I am wired different. I am that. That is me, yeah, to a T. I am definitely different. And I, you know what? I'm not trying to be like everybody else anyways, okay?
No, you're not.
I'm unique, okay? All right, so real quick, the tiger in us, all right? This you kind of planted a seed earlier. This is a major motion picture produced by your company, Wired Differently. Sounds like a real exciting project. Can you share the inspiration behind the film and again a little bit of what the audience can expect in this this production?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing that I would want anyone to understand from the premise of this fourth book titled The Tiger in Us and the movie that will come from the book is that it's the beginning of Wired Differently. It's really about my father. And my father, you know, he's got dementia. He's, I think, 80, going to be 84. And this morning was just one of those mornings dealing with all that. And now you're going to get me moving here, and I'll do the very best I can. My dad actually taught me, because he's an emotional guy too. And he said, son, you're going to cry. You're going to be emotional. You're going to be blah, blah, blah. And he says, but here's the trick for you. Whenever you start to cry, you start feeling it. Have a glass of water and sip it and roll your eyes backwards, and you can stop your baby crying. So like, I even go to that and I cry because I'm crying about what he taught me how not to cry.
That's insane. Like, I needed that tip. I was doing this, I was hosting this conference, and I was given a keynote for the first time. And I wrote this keynote that was very, very emotional about how I grew up. And, and actually the part that choked me up was when I started talking about how my heavenly father sent me to go see my earthly father, and my earthly father, helped to recreate me and save my life.
Really. I heard that story. He brought you back in, right? And you were damn near homeless or something like that.
Yeah, I was in and out of jail and just acting crazy a fool. And my heavenly father sent me to see my earthly father, and the grace that was, given to me. And so where I'm going with this is, I was doing this keynote for the very first time, and I got choked up in the middle of it. I started crying. Literally, I started crying on stage. So I needed that trick. Okay, I needed that trick. So drink some water.
Roll it.
Take a minute. Take a pause.
And I do love your story. I do love your story. But I would tell you this right now, especially from a keynote perspective. I mean, don't ever lose that, Trevor. You got to know when to go to that thought, that process, that feeling, because that's making you, man. That's part of this North Star of your habits, right? That's part of your identity. So I want to encourage you. The Tiger in Us, if your listeners out there, go to thetigerinus.com, thetigerinus.com, and you can see a movie trailer that we put together for the movie. I'll try to make this as quick as possible. My father was the greatest football coach to ever walk the planet from 1968 to 1975. He never lost a game, never tied a game, had the longest win streak in the history of football, 72 wins in a row in a little town called Hudson, Michigan. And so the story about that is, I was growing up in that, in his footsteps, and I was with him everywhere. And it's a love story, because basically it's about a son who loved his father and a father who loved his son. But the father also had a lot of other sons. He was really called to be a great coach. He was really called to be a way and to build up men, right? And so the story is about me kind of going through this process of looking up to my father. But my father's out here winning all these football games. He's a amazing Sports Illustrated, the TV, Detroit Lions, Bear Bryant, President Gerald Ford. All these people are trying to get to him as he's going through this winning. And we ended up having a movie crew come live with us, literally live with us, in the beginning of the season, because if they won all the games at the end of the season, they would break this world record, and the movie crew would have this documentary before ESPN and all that. Long, quick story on that. That movie fell apart because the guy who created the movie had an offer to buy it in 1980, and the team got upset because he turned down $1 million offer for the movie because he wanted it to be an Oscar, and they wanted to make it a TV series called Friday Night Lights. And so he turned it down, split everybody up, and we know the story behind Friday Night Lights. So that was the original idea for the movie, was my father's win streak in Hudson, Michigan. Well, long story short, the core of this story is that it's kind of the ultimate no-look pass, right? You know what a no-look pass is. Is in basketball, you look one way and you pass in another way. That's called a no-look pass. So this story is about breaking this record, the son and the love story between the father and the son and everything they're going through, and he's trying to break this world record. If he wins them all, he's going to break this world record. But really what happens in one pivotal moment in this movie, a little young man he's 12, 10, 11, 12 years old, and he goes to his father's practice one day. You got to remember, this 1970, 1972, something like that. little boy runs across the street. He goes to the practice field and he's going to get salt tablets and hand out water and do all the things he normally does to be with his father. He's just trying to be close to his father. Walks out to the field and he realizes that the field is just different. It's wet. It's overcast and it's muddy and the players don't have any helmets on and they just have shorts and some pads and these three sections of players out there. And the little boy's like, what is going on? There's my dad. And there he's out there yelling at these players and getting after them. And the other coaches are. And one section of these three is a section of men crawling under the agility ropes, army crawling, you know. Wow, what's going on? I look over another section. The little boy sees a section of men doing what are called monkey rolls. And monkey rolls where they jump and roll in the mud. And coaches are yelling, get going. And then there's another section over there the little boy sees where my father's standing. And there's like 20 of these men. 10 of them have another man on their shoulder. And they're trying to walk the length of the field. And all I could see as a little boy was, man, what's going on? I can hear this coach is yelling at these men trying to walk to the end of the field. You've got to go. Get up. Don't quit. You'll die if you don't get up. And it's just like this most radical thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, you'll die if you don't get up. And my father's screaming, get up. Get up. Nobody can save you. You must get up. You can't quit. And all the other players are getting around this fallen man who just can't get up and finish the drill. And all of a sudden, my father, just in the most piercing voice I've ever heard in my life, says, you'll die if you don't get up. Then all the players converged. And as this man picked up the other man, threw him over his shoulder and walked the final 8 yards and stumbled and finally fell at the finish line, he did it. And the players started yelling, he lives, he lives, he lives. It was like the most, I'm just like confused. And they're celebrating and high-fiving the whole practice field and rejoicing that he lives. And as I look over there, my father looks over to me and he sees me in somewhat of a corner and he walks over to me on the sideline and he says, son, what's wrong? I said, Dad, I don't understand what's going on. I'm glad everybody's happy, but he's dying. He's living. What is going on, Dad? He says, son, today's just a different day. I said, but Dad, I thought you were a football coach. There's no football. There's no helmets. There's nothing going on here. I just don't understand what's going on. He's lying. He's living. What is going on? He says, son, listen to me. These men, when they graduate from high school, are not going to the factories. These men aren't even going to college, son. You see, son, what I want to tell you is that I'm not a football coach. And these men are going to Vietnam. I'm not a football coach. I'm a builder of men. And I knew at that point in my life that I wanted to be like my father. I knew that what he wanted for them was more than the world win streak record. He wanted them to live. He wanted them to fight. He wanted them to be men. And that's what it called for in the 70s. And that's the genesis of Wired Differently. That's the genesis of my fourth book, Your Will Be Done.
Man, that's so powerful. That is so powerful. And like I was sitting here thinking, you know, as you were telling the story, like, where, you know, I was kind of like, as you were like, what's going on here? I'm like, where's this going? What's going on here? Yeah. And then you hit it with the punchline. They're going to Vietnam. Whoa, dude, no wonder. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's the book. So the trailer, The Tiger in Us, is a beautiful trailer. It talks about the movie. It talks about, it has some actual real footage of my father back in the 70s. It's phenomenal. You'll be, matter of fact, last February I was at the Super Bowl and I was asked to speak, to a lot of the veterans of the NFL. And George Foreman's movie came out, Big George or whatever it was. And they promoted that movie to that same crowd. And it was a pretty big deal. And then I went up and spoke two or three speakers after that. And then I promoted The Tiger in Us in front of the NFL and their wives and the mothers. And we got the standing ovation.
Yes. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Y'all need to go check it out. You need to go check out everything this man's got going on. Todd Saylor. He's got Your Will Be Done. Okay. You need to go pick that book up. You can go get that anywhere today. Okay. Make sure you get it up on Amazon and give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate that. The Tiger in Us coming soon. You can go check out it on his website. What was the name of that website again?
So The Tiger in Us is the website. You can see the Tiger in Us video and just a little bit of a landing page for that video. But toddsaylor.com is my speaking website, and wireddifferently.com. We're coming out with a whole line of clothing wired differently. It's phenomenal. It's a little wonky right now, but you can see some of the sweatshirts and some of the t-shirts and faith-based wired differently clothing line. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I would tell you this, anybody who wants a free copy of my book, Your Will Be Done. It's a great, great book. Somehow just work through Trevor and we will ship you an electronic or audio book, whatever you want. We'll figure out a way to get that to them.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. Y'all hear that offer? Okay. So he said, if you want a free book, okay. Cause trust me, you're going to want it. You need to just send me an email. Okay. Here's how I'm going to put it out there. You need to send me an email, Trevor at whoyouknow.show. Just say, hey, I want you to just put the subject line. Okay. You don't have to do anything else than that. Put the subject line, put Your Will Be Done. I'll make sure we get your information. We get you that book. Okay. So Trevor@whoyouknow.show. That's amazing. Todd, I really appreciate you doing that for the audience. And so guys, this has been amazing. This has been an amazing episode. Todd, I really appreciate you being here with us today and praying over me and just putting all of this wisdom out here. You know, I'm soaking it up, man. I'm a sponge. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you.
Well, I look forward to having you on my podcast one of these days, Trevor.
Let's go. Let's do that. I would love to. It'd be my honor and pleasure to join you over there. And hopefully I can drop a few mics as well. You know what I mean?
All right, brother.
All right. Well, thank you again. Guys, that's the show. It's all about who you know. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Who You Know Show podcast. My name is Trevor Houston. And if you've enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing wherever you listen and leave us a positive review to help us keep the mics on in the studio. Until next week, that's the show. It's all about who you know.